Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hey, it was great to see Ben Jones in Minneapolis on Saturday night. Ben, great to see you there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve, it was great to see you too, and thanks for having me.
So he goes out and Jalen Pickett gets 32. I mean, so you're going to be the one reporter that in person saw both the performances. What did you think about the efficiency of it combined with the fact he had 15 assists last week, too?
Yeah, I mean, this was sort of like, you hate to compare players to automobiles, but it's like getting a finely tuned Corvette to work on all cylinders. I thought that, you know, the thing is I don't think that Jalen Pickett played that much differently those last two nights than he had really the entire year. You just have more shots go in. His three-pointer has been on point really the all season, but certainly the last couple weeks. And again, he does what he does so well, which is find people who are open, find people that are going to make shots for him, and they did just that. So I think it's always easy to get caught up in the scoring in games like that, and rightfully so, especially with the efficiency that he had from the field. But at the same time, it was also everything else that Jalen Pickett does so well, and that can sometimes get lost in that final number because it is so sexy, and it's hard to ignore a guy that's dropping 30 and 40 points a game. But yeah, I mean, this was Jalen Pickett at his best, and how long can he keep it up? I guess we'll see starting tonight, but certainly it's hard to imagine that he's going to suddenly hit a wall.
I know Seth Lundy had been under the weather heading into the game, so the scoring was not there, but he had the primary responsibility of Jamison Battle. You've watched the last 2 years of Seth Lundy. What have been your thoughts, Ben, of him as a defender?
Oh, I mean, I think that he is really, I mean, people who watch the Big Ten know how good of a defender he is, but I think he is really one of the more underrated defenders in the country. And I think that, you know, for as much as we talk about Jalen Pickett, not so much as a defender, but just as an all-around player, that Seth Lundy has been outstanding night in and night out for Penn State on both ends of the floor. He gets rebounds. He has tough defensive assignments every single night. And he's been scoring the ball really efficiently. So I think, you know, for my money, Jalen Pickett deserves the spotlight. He deserves the praise. He deserves everything that's come to him because he's a great player. But I think Seth Lundy has been really just phenomenal this year. And it goes to show, you know, you go back to things we talked about earlier in the season or before the season started, you know, the fact that Seth Lundy finally has the same head coach for back-to-back years. I think it's one of those things that's finally paying dividends for him. But yeah, just from a defensive standpoint, he's gotten better and better and has really turned into one of the premier defenders in the Big Ten and arguably in the country.
It is one thing to hear about an Andrew Funk when he's playing for Bucknell. It's another thing to see him on an everyday basis. What have been your thoughts?
I mean, I think the most fun thing about Andrew Funk is that he doesn't care where he is on the court or whether or not the heat check is necessary. He's just going to chuck it. And I think that is, you know, obviously probably oversimplifying things a little bit for him, but I think the confidence that he has as a three-point shooter, his ability to make them quickly, his ability to make them from moving off the ball, his ability to make them in transition, and his fearlessness. I think you need all of those things to be a good three-point shooter. Obviously, when you're a guy like him, you're going to be put in some spots that he's had this year where the shots haven't fallen that would have maybe changed the outcome of a couple games for Penn State. But I think on the whole, you know, you do always ask that question, can a guy come from a place like Bucknell that, you know, is a solid program in its own right? I love that building and everything about that program, but it's very different when you've got to do it in Big Ten play. And I think he's transitioned great this year. And he's one of those guys, you know, I had a chance to sit down with him a couple weeks ago. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's the other side of that transfer portal story where you go, wait, no, you were so much fun and now you're gone. You know, I think Penn State fans should enjoy him while he's around. Because they would have enjoyed him even more if he'd been able to stay for just a few more seasons.
Penn State is one of those teams that has a lot of guard-to-guard screens. Not a lot of teams do that. Andrew Funk's a big reason why. When you watch him take care of, quote, the dirty work, what do you think that means to their offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge. And I think, you know, there's a reason why I don't know where the analytics necessarily have Penn State right now, but I know that they were at one point, you know, the top ball screen offense in the country, and that goes up and down as the games happen. But I think one of the things that you've got to be able to do if you're going to be a good ball screening team is set good screens, get off those screens, and make your shots off of them. And I think that, you know, I remember when John Graham, this is a very strange reference to make, but I remember when John Graham transferred to Maryland that a website there had mentioned that, you know, he sets really good screens, and it seems like a silly thing to say, but I think, you know, guys that can set screens, guys that can make shots, obviously Andrew Funk and John Graham are very different players, but yeah, I mean, I think that what you, if you're going to be a guy like Andrew Funk, you've got to make your shots, but you've also got to be good off the ball and when the ball's on your hands, and I think he's done a good job of that this year as well.
Yeah, they are different players, as you mentioned. Phil Williams was before your time. Phil Williams on that 96 team. In fact, Calvin Booth was at shoot-around today, and we were talking about this. Phil Williams was a, quote, great screener. Rarely scored, but was a great screener to the point where Bob Knight even pointed that out. It's an underrated part of the game. Coaches appreciate it. The guy that makes the shot appreciates it, too, as a matter of fact, along the way. There will be no Zed Key tonight or for the rest of the season. Felix Apara, in all likelihood, will be the starter in that spot this evening. What have you seen in Penn State's post-defense, especially in the last couple of weeks?
I think it's getting better. I mean, I think that Michael Henn has really helped Penn State on the interior. I think Keba is growing with each and every game. He obviously still has some room to grow physically, room to grow with his basketball IQ, but I think it's getting better. You know, I think also at the same time, you know, Penn State has sort of embraced, this is who we are. These are where we're going to give up our points. These are where we're going to try not to give up our points. I know a couple weeks ago that, you know, you'd asked me one of the things that you thought Penn State was sort of underrated or overlooking, that fans might not be looking at, and I said their defense. I do think that, you know, they could afford to play, maybe give up a few fewer points down the stretch here, but I do think that that interior defense has gotten, for what it is, better. But at the same time, you know, everybody knows what Penn State's going to do tonight. They need two more three-pointers to set the program's single-season record that was set just a couple years ago, which sort of shows how the game has changed. So they're going to go out there, they're going to shoot their three, and like Michael Shrewsbury has said all year, three is better than two, but certainly at some point he'd like to get stops in the paint, and Penn State's doing a better job of that recently than it had at the beginning of the year.
Because the number inside the number on Saturday night, Ben, was the fact that Minnesota did shoot 44% in the second half. I felt in watching the game, and I know you were just a couple rows behind me, I felt that ended up being a difference maker for them in that game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to make shots, you know, it's harder to win. And I think, you know, you see the beginning of that second half where Minnesota went. I think I called it the slowest 7-0 run on the history of basketball, it felt like, just because, you know, Penn State's missing shots that they were making in the first half. Minnesota's finally making some shots that they were missing, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, if you can hold guys to lower and lower percentages, you've got a better and better chance to win, and especially with this Penn State team. I think the fact that they can go ahead on people, and are they going to have their lulls? Sure, everybody does, but it's way better to be up 10-0 and have another team go on a 10-0 run on you, because that means now you're just tied. I think Penn State has done a better job, especially at Minnesota. They did a good job of weathering the storm, and, you know, frankly, basketball is not always that complicated. When Penn State's shots go in, they're really good. When they don't, they have a hard yeah. time winning, and that's true for everybody, and you saw that this past weekend, that really the difference was, you know, are there little things here and there? Sure, but they shot it well on the road. When you shoot it well on the road, you're going to win more basketball games.
What do you think of the Big Ten? How good is it in your reality? Do you think in reality it is?
I mean, I think that it's different to look at the Big Ten in a year like this, where the teams you thought were going to be really good outside of Purdue have maybe not been quite as good. Purdue has, you know, I think people have figured out a little bit in theory what you're supposed to do against Purdue. So I think because there's not necessarily that juggernaut that or two or three or four that you're sort of used to year in, year out, that the Big Ten doesn't look quite as strong. you know, I still think that there's a lot of talent in the league. There's a lot of good guard play in the league. There's a lot of good coaching in the league. So, you know, maybe the secret to the Big Ten doing better in the postseason is just to have a kind of average-looking regular season. You know, they've done it the other way around for a while now. So, you know, I think the parity is always going to be there because you're always going to know what the other team's going to do. There's always going to be that institutional familiarity and the night-in and night-out stuff. But I think, you know, in a weird way, the top is not as good, but the bottom is maybe better than it has been in seeing some of these programs like Rutgers, which is, you know, we both know that over the last 5 or 6 years has sort of perpetually been on the edge of being quite good consistently. So, you know, if teams like Rutgers can get better, if teams like Purdue can stay the same, you know, you're looking at a Big Ten that's going to be perfectly fine in the future. Has this been a bit of a down year? Maybe you can argue that, but at the same time, you know, I guess the Big Ten's had strong regular seasons and weaker postseasons for a long time now, so maybe they're just going to flip the script.
Well, yeah, Ben, the way I've looked at it is, look, coaches have to coach to their personnel, so this is not a coaching knock. If I'm Steve Peichel, I've got to play that way. If I'm Greg Gard, I've got to play that way. I understand that. I just feel like this conference is played in and officiated in a phone booth. And I feel like when they get to the NCAA tournament, it's a wide world up there, 94 by 50, and the Big Ten doesn't adapt to it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, officiating is always that conversation that we have every year. And I do think that there have been moments this year where the Big Ten has not, you know, exactly doused itself in glory on that front. You know, there's going to be mistakes. That's part of the game. That's part of officiating. It's part of the human error. But I do think that, you know, there's something to be said for how the league has been officiated and how that can translate into the postseason. And sometimes that works into your favor, and sometimes it doesn't. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, in a couple weeks here, how some of these teams that we think might be pretty good in the Big Ten are able to officiate their way, so to speak, or physical their way through the actual tournament. But I suppose that's what makes good teams good, is you figure out how they're going to be, how a game's going to be called, and you play that way, and you just hope that when it's late in the fourth quarter, they don't call their first holding call on you.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the game is played in such a phone booth in this conference. Everything is just in tight quarters all the time. All right, and everybody else is out there with spacing and flow. That's just my observation. By the way, another interesting one tonight is Northwestern Illinois. I think that's a really interesting game tonight, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern's been the story of the year for the Big Ten, and I think, you know, Chris Collins has shown that he's the guy to keep that program sort of doing what it's wanted to do for decades and decades and practically centuries at this point. Illinois is an interesting team, too, because I know earlier in the season when you do the preseason thing that I'd sort of picked them to do a bit better than the up and downs that they've had, but they've sort of at times been able to figure things out. So yeah, that's another big game. I forget what Northwestern's at, like 10 or 11 home wins in conference play straight or whatever it is. You know, that's going to be an interesting test for Penn State. Who would have thought that Penn State would have an opportunity to go on the road against Northwestern and pick up a marquee win? But the world is getting warmer by the year, so things are changing in all sorts of ways. And I guess Northwestern being a marquee road win is certainly one of those things.
Yeah, and the key addition is not a player on that team. It's actually an assistant coach. Chris Lowry has come in, and they play defense in a different way because of his addition. That's something to watch for. We'll talk about that next week. Ben, always a pleasure. It was great to see you out in Minneapolis on Saturday night, and thanks for doing this today.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve. I'll talk to you soon.